Timmy, Timmy, Timmy Tan. He'd be wishing for a band to kill everybody walking. You know that it's all in the front. It's fine, she gon' beat it. Shawty wildin', she wildin' for BT, wildin' for wildin' to kill everybody walking.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your last year's meme of music, news, and criticism. I am your host, John Caramonica.
You know that it's all in the front. It's fine, she gon' beat it. Shawty wildin', she wildin' for BT, wildin' for wildin'.
Woo! That's that young lord, that young king, and also that young boy, Carson Luders, with that a cappella Timmy Turner cover, ripped right from the headlines and ripped right from the app musically. I got guests here because we got a lot to talk about. I've got Joe Coscarelli, pop music reporter.
I'm here.
What's really good?
I downloaded Musically today.
I like a diligent guest. I really like it. We are joined also by a special guest. I have John Herman, who is a David Carr Fellow at the New York Times, covering media and technology, formerly of The All. What's good, John?
Thanks for having me on to talk about
fresh off your honeymoon. Fresh off your honeymoon here with the Kings.
Back to the important issues.
This is important. John, you wrote about Musically. Presumably not on your honeymoon. Presumably you wrote that before.
That got delayed a little bit. It wasn't like breaking news.
But, to us it was.
Yeah.
I'm glad most of us over 12 and shocked numerous adults.
Well, that's a good perk of the job is consistent shocking of adults. So, John, tell us about Musically. Tell us the what, and more importantly, tell us the why.
So basically, Musically is a social app. It works a little bit like Instagram. It feels a little bit like Vine. A lot of really like familiar mechanics. You like things and you follow people and it has a timeline. It's all very familiar in that sense. What's kind of weird about it when you first open it is that it's lots of people singing and dancing, and they're singing and dancing to like often really popular, officially licensed songs. Mm-hmm. You also notice right off the bat that a lot of the people doing the singing and dancing are pretty young, which
quite young.
You could say
young.
That.
And then you imagine just by that sort of like rule of thumb about, you know, 17 magazine being for 12-year-olds that the actual audience here is much younger. And then you sort of poke around the app more and you realize that actually, yes, much of the audience or the user base is really, really young, like grade school kids.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, that boy Carson Luders, who we came in on, is advertised as being 15. I feel like there's a chance, I don't want to say too much, but I feel like there's maybe a chance he's not 15.
Watch a YouTube video, decide for yourself.
Yeah, you know, at us.
We haven't seen the birth certificate.
At us, email us at popcast@nytimes.com if you have some information you want to share maybe. But yeah, get at us about Carson Luders and any of your other favorite Musically stars.
Well, this was sort of the idea in writing about this. It was sort of less about the like culture of the app and how the app works than just sort of wondering out loud, you know, what does it mean that there is one app out there among all the other apps that seems to be populated mostly by more or less children? Like there are laws about this, there are sort of social norms about this, and this is just sort of like blowing past all of it. And that seemed notable.
How does it differ from Snapchat, which is like also widely understood to be for very young people by adults or New York Times readers?
Or Vine for that matter.
Yeah, both of those are obviously full of people who are under 13, which is the age sort of delineated in the FTC rules about private information and sign up age gating and all this different stuff. It's really just a matter of degree, I think, and it's hard to really know how many very young people are using these apps versus other apps. But it's more credible when, say, a Facebook or a Vine or a Snapchat says, we have young users, but we also have lots of other users, and we're not directed toward young people. We're directed toward everyone, and we don't ask about age, or if we do, you know, we take their word for it. They have this sort of like
plausible deniability.
Yeah, I mean, it's plausible enough for the FTC and for, I guess, everyone else. But when you get to something like Musically, and you for a while there's a feature in the app that isn't there anymore, where you could just see nearby users. And it was just a wall. It was like a wall. Yeah,
yeah. I wonder why that's not there anymore.
But it was like a wall of 10-year-olds. And now the only thing that's similar to that is a feature where, you know, if you go to like a hashtag and look at the most recent posts, you see the closest thing to like a real sample of the user base. And again, it's very, very young. It's younger than the featured users. It's younger than the top posts under the hashtags. It's just very
Which are
clear.
Also young from yeah. the hour that I just spent looking around the
yeah,
sort of top
young,
ranked videos.
It's just a young app.
Yeah.
It's kids.
I feel like the
top
oldest,
to bottom.
The oldest person we like in the time we just spent on, I feel like the oldest person we saw was maybe in their early 20s.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I mean then like Jason Derulo pops up.
Right.
Like,
you have occasional verified but what's interesting about this is this seems like something that is built for young people, but also built for the music business to monetize in a way that maybe some of these other apps are not designed for. Because part of the app is you can lip sync to authorize clips of recorded songs.
Yeah.
And there's a heat board or a song heat index that basically is like the Billboard Top 10.
Yeah,
there's
its own internal chart.
Yeah, it's a 21 Pilots are on there.
Chainsmokers,
like big
Selena
hit.
Gomez.
Yes.
Shawn Mendes.
And you can, I guess, duet with some of them as well. Like right. You can splice together videos. These videos are edited as well, which is something that's a little bit different than some of the other apps.
The really, really quick origin story is they created this app where it worked basically as it does now, but people were using it to make lip sync videos, and those videos were getting posted to Instagram and to Vine and presumably everywhere else a little bit. But
sort of
they,
was it a dub smash type thing that it originally was?
Yeah, okay. And what they started doing was watermarking the videos so they would appear on Instagram and people would see that this was made with Musical.ly.
Got it.
And then it started funneling people back to the app and it got more momentum. You know, however these things get momentum.
When did the app first launch, the initial service?
I'm not sure, maybe 2014.
Okay.
But I'd have to double check that. But yeah, it took off with that functionality. And then their explanation now is for why it's especially popular with younger people is that being able to sing along with really recognizable music and, you know, Musical.ly's efforts to like license that right out of the gates
yep.
versus Vine's sort of like backwards version of this where people mm-hmm. were just doing music and then Vine had to like
retroactively incorporate it.
It gives people a way to make something that's like pretty good with basically no effort, which is appealing if you're, you know, 12 years old and you want to make something for your friends or whatever. If you're on Vine, you have a totally blank slate and you have to make something funny or you have to put on music in the background and sing along to it. That might seem kind of weird. This sort of like gets you 90% of the way there to having something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems to be like a credible claim. That's kind of what they've done. They've just made making a pretty entertaining short video very, very easy.
Joe, I think you look good in that shirt.
Thank you.
John, I think you look good in that shirt. I also look good in this shirt. I think if we were 12, we would also make a video.
And I look good in this shirt.
Yes, and with all three of us in our blue shirts, and we would post it on Musical.ly.
This was a meme that we just discovered on Musical.ly, which apparently originated sometime last year.
It's a 2015 meme. We're super late.
Do you know this one?
Are you up
no,
on that?
I look good I'm in not. This shirt.
That's also a popular song on Vine.
There you go. John Herman, just out here blazing at the bleeding edge.
So the other thing...
meme god in the building.
The other thing that I did notice on playing around with Musical.ly for a little bit is that people, in addition to the sort of handicap, here's the song, lip sync a video, people are doing the Vine thing and the YouTube thing and the Instagram thing where they're doing their own covers of the same songs,
yeah.
basically. The, mm-hmm. You know, whatever songs are hot among... tweens,
the youth.
And but you know, doing the acoustic guitar 10-second version of it, so there's room for growth,
yeah.
There, if you are the dedicated content creator,
the looters type,
yeah. And Musical.ly talks about this that you know they want to move beyond the lip syncing and dancing stuff into being a platform for comedy, and they highlight comedy videos that are often like ex-viners. Or people with big Snapchat followings just doing sort of like broad physical comedy. And then there's a lot of like the singing is usually very earnest, but the dancing is often sort of like self-deprecating and not so earnest.
Do you think there's something, whether it's a form of musical performance or comedic performance or acting performance, is there something that's unique to Musical.ly that has not been seen previously on a Vine or on a Snap or on IG?
I think there are pieces of all of those platforms in Musical.ly. I think what they've done is taken the polished performance part of it a lot further. You know, if you're on Musical.ly, you've got like your perfectly coiffed hair, your perfectly coiffed 12-year-old hair, which mm-hmm. is a phrase I never thought I'd And you know, you have your followers, you're singing along to the song that everyone else is singing along to. Like, you have this whole package presentation that is like, yeah, there's a lower bar for entry there than there might be on Vine or Instagram or whatever, but it's a package. It's a sort of unique product, I think.
Can you talk a little bit more about the legal issues, because your piece focused on some of the legal concerns, and again, like you said before, there are these sort of, I don't want to say bad faith ways of being lawful with these other apps or other social media platforms, but they do seem designed to elide some of the serious consideration, whereas this does seem to create a whole batch of real potential problems.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is the laws are odd and the enforcement is kind of uneven and inconsistent.
They're federal statutes.
Basically, the FTC says if you knowingly have users that are under the age of 13, you can't collect certain types of data from them. These sorts of personal data were recently broadened to include things like persistent usernames or images of the person.
Sure.
I mean, this is why you have the 13-year age threshold for sites like Facebook. When you sign up for a new Gmail account or YouTube account or something, it'll ask you how old you are. If you are under the age of 13, it won't let you sign up. You know, enforcement actions, which are relatively rare, really sort of like land at the fringes of these issues. There was a notable one. I think Yelp had an age gate. It asked users, are you 13? And it, for a while, it didn't change the service if you said you were 12. And so there was like a fine and there was a whole press release. And, you know, it was a, but that seems to be like miles away from the millions of, you know, under 13s who are using Facebook, maybe with their parents' permission, maybe without their parents' permission. Musical.ly is really, again, notable just because of the degree of the like young usership. It sort of takes the same approach as virtually every other social app, which is to say, either we don't know how old our users are or we take their word for it. We are not marketing to them specifically. We are not like a kid's game. We're not a kid product in any explicit way. Or if we are, it is not our fault or is not, right. It is not our intention. And therefore, we are not required to do anything differently.
Does that hold water?
Apparently.
God forbid, you know, if God forbid something terrible did happen, is that kind of deniability actually hold water in any kind of legal environment?
They're compliant in, I think, a virtually identical way to the Snapchat or Vine or Facebook, and I do think in you know the event of something bad happening that even it would certainly put them in the news, but I'm not sure that people's minds would go straight to the FTC's enforcement of COPPA rules. Mm-hmm. I think the FTC is sort of aware of that and is therefore kind of reluctant to wade into this. I don't think they want to just suddenly say, we have decided that there are lots and lots of kids on YouTube and we want to like change how Google approaches this. They just, I think they'd rather wait for companies to sort of deal with this on their own.
It got me thinking a little bit of statutes about how you can't advertise to young people in certain ways or in certain time blocks. And fundamentally, this feels like music business advertising to children. It's participatory advertising. It's engagement. But it also is like, you maybe aren't going to spend 99 cents to buy the Chainsmokers single, but I'm going to make sure that the Chainsmokers are like a part of your life.
Well, and you can sort of see that in the celebs that they've gotten to sign up for it. Like from what I saw, the featured users, the famous people that are there are all teen pop stars.
Right.
They're not really using it themselves. Right. They maybe have one video or two videos.
Ariana
Grande, Selena Gomez,
Meghan Trainor, Hailee Steinfeld.
Hailee Steinfeld, all targeted towards kids.
Right. I mean, the other problem with this is the rules do have something to say about directing apps or services or whatever toward young people. But this, again, like shows the sort of limits of the regulations in that the stuff, aside from artists that have been courted, the stuff that would be like drawing young people to this app or the things that might make it seem like child-directed are users, basically.
So it's organic in some way?
Yeah, I mean, you can... I don't think the FTC wants to get into an argument about what's organic and what's not, and like, you know, why do young people use this app?
Yeah, but there's no like, there are no like body head songs that you can lip sync to.
Yeah.
are there like P.S. Eliot reissue songs in there? Like,
what's up?
Level up.
But you go in
Downtown
there,
Boys.
There are a lot of Soon. Things like there are you know plenty of songs you can lip sync to. But I don't know if you went through the creation tools. There's also like a Disney section. Mm-hmm. You can like. Sing along to songs
what is
from
your,
Frozen.
What is your Musical.ly handle, by the way?
I just use my Twitter account, so it's the same as my Twitter account. You won't everybody, find any videos.
Everybody go check out John singing Disney songs.
Disney songs. Just for work, I swear.
Yeah, you mean my work account
just
or my
for,
personal?
Just for work.
So, yeah, what else is in there besides Disney stuff and pop song du jour?
You can, well, I'll open it up. It changes
without
the
that iPhone.
A lot of stuff.
While you're looking at that, do you get the sense that parents have just decided this is a safe space for kids? Because, I mean, you know, on Instagram, on Snapchat, you can sort of stumble into inappropriate stuff. Aside from songs about drugs and gun violence,
yeah.
There doesn't seem to be that much.
And while you're on that subject, I want to shout out that girl, Sophia Grace, with that OT Genesis Cut It cover. We see you, Sophia.
She's miming cutting her hair,
yeah,
which is not what the song is about.
No.
I talked to a few parents while writing the piece and then have talked to a few more since it published, some of whom work here and I won't name. but they said that it has sort of inspired weird conversations about who's responsible for this stuff. Obviously, the parents are ultimately. And I think one thing that people underestimate is just how totally a young child's, like, smartphone use is surveilled. Like,
yeah,
a kid
by
has a
corporations,
phone.
By corporations, you mean?
Oh, no, by parents.
Oh, by parents, too. Okay.
So, like, you're aware of what apps are on your kids' phones, and you can take the phone from them and look at their accounts. And there are things they can hide from you. Obviously, they will. But, like,
I learned about all sorts of apps that hide things from this latest Anthony Weiner scandal.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Has Snowden weighed in on this yet?
So, you open Musical.ly, and it's alarming to see lots of young people in one place. But I think if you're a parent, it's probably less alarming than opening up, like, you know, the Vine popular post page or something. It's just like it is a bunch of people singing along and dancing to stuff. It's pretty anodyne.
And the sort of the intersection of music and comedy was something I was thinking about, like who are the role models here? And like someone who comes to mind immediately for me is Todrick Hall, who is a YouTuber and presumably 76 other things, who sort of basically flamed out on American Idol a bunch of years ago and remade himself as a social media, musical theater, comedy, music nerd. And has an MTV show, which I think probably got canceled because it was pretty bad. But he seems like the OG for, like, this entire, you know, he's who, like, Jacob Sartorius looks up to. When Jacob Sartorius is like, when I grow up and I'm 19, I'm going to be just like Todrick.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that in the muser celebrity culture. That's the vibe. It's very much like positive YouTuber. I don't think a parent would open this and be astonished by anything they saw. But here in the creation tools, you can sing along to Hannah Montana stuff. There's a whole Disney
Hannah Montana,
section.
Hannah Montana.
Not that
Hannah,
one.
Oh, are you,
yeah,
are you sure?
I don't think it's in here.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Watch for us, and we're going to make that
we
one.
We did hear Timmy Turner
That's
covered
true.
By
it's
a 15-year-old.
Like it's totally
I was going to say. I was going to say there's Pokemon Go in here, but most of the people I've seen playing that are adults wearing suits.
Damn, R.I.P. Niantic. Well, here's my last question. It's like, do you have a particularly beloved Musical.ly user or video that you want to like bless the people with?
No,
go check
I
out?
Truly don't.
Damn,
I've spent
John
a lot
Iron
of time
Man.
Looking at this app and you hear about an artist that is popular with teens and you like you take a look and you're like dazzled or stunned or confused and you feel old. And the looking at just the featured list on Musical.ly or just like the top hashtags or whatever, it's really sort of heartening to see how corny actual like kids are.
Yeah.
They're not cool. Kids aren't cool. Everyone needs to understand this, especially in the tech world. They're kids. And like teens eventually almost cool, but still not cool. Teens are still terrible. That's been nice.
Bold,
sort of
yeah. Bold statement.
Some bad taste on this app, but I agree that it's heartening
well, it's,
in a way.
I don't know. It'd be like, would you say that your little cousin has bad taste? Or you're like, no, it's like that's a little kid.
Depends which
you haven't met my little cousins. What I'm waiting on is the Bandcamp integration, so I can really get that hardcore kid that. Alt-rap
yeah,
kid.
To be fair, this isn't really welcoming to the weirdos.
Yeah,
in the middle
it,
school.
It sort of skims off the sort of like cornier, popular and very palatable Viner types and YouTube types.
I would like to say, though, if you are a kid who is not like a down the center kind of kid, I encourage you to get on Musical.ly and make a weird video
yeah,
that's true to
up.
You and we'll be super pumped.
Not a lot of Frank Ocean.
You'll be looking for it.
No, we'll be here. We'll be watching. Yeah, not a lot of Frank Ocean. No, Lil Uzi Vert. No.
I didn't see a little.
We did see Lil Yachty and Drum.
Yes, which was a lot of broccoli, but that's a crossover hit.
Thanks, John, for coming on and sharing all this deep vibes on Musical.ly. I appreciate it. That's John Herman on the podcast.
And you could tell me if I'm off, but I see it on your face when you say that he's the one that you want. And you're spending all your time in this wrong situation, and anytime you want it to stop. I know I can treat you better than he can, and any girl like you deserves a gentleman. Tell me, why are we wasting time on all your wasted crime when you should be with me instead? I know I can treat you better than he can.
That's the boy Shawn Mendes, Treat You Better. A banger off of Shawn Mendes' new album, which Joe Coscarelli wrote about.
Vine is all grown up.
Yeah, tell us about Shawn Mendes, who came to renown on Vine and now is sort of a major label pop star.
Yeah, I think he is a major label.
He is a pop almost star.
I think he's going to get there.
So this is Shawn's second record. Tell us, what's the name of the record?
It's called Illuminate.
Yeah, it is.
It's out on Friday. It's Shawn's second album in a year, mm-hmm. Year and a half. His debut, Handwritten, came out last spring, April of 2015.
I want to say that Stitches, which is the big banger on that album, was on my top singles list last year.
I think it was.
Yeah, Stitches.
How do you feel about Life of the Party, his debut single?
I want to let that one go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just going to jump right to Stitches.
Handwritten comes out in April 2015, mm-hmm. hits number one on the Billboard chart.
Yes.
You know, sells 100,000 and change first week. And no one really knew who this kid was, with the exception of Stitches fan John Caramonica and children on Vine. So it turns out that he had been, since getting a guitar, you know, barely a year earlier, this handsome boy
from Canada,
from Ontario,
a Bieber origin story.
Grew up outside of Toronto. He'd been uploading covers to Vine, 6-second covers. Vine, you know, the 6-second video app that just loops. And there was a popular hashtag on the app called 6-second cover, and Shawn Mendes was, you know, doing basically what these Musical.ly kids are doing, and not the lip syncing ones, but the ones who do their own
versions. Cover versions.
So, you know, he'd play a couple chords and sing Sam Smith or Taylor Swift or et cetera,
et cetera. And curiously, they all sounded I remember sort of like doing the back work on Shawn Mendes' Vine and the compilations that, you know, were uploaded to YouTube. Shawn Mendes is not the most dynamic singer in the universe. Shawn Mendes has like a relatively plain voice. He made a lot of distinct sounding songs sound pretty similar.
Right. Yeah. He had a vibe. It was, you know, kid with an acoustic guitar covering pop songs.
Yeah.
Interestingly, he was also doing this on YouTube. He was uploading often the full version. I think originally Vine served as a teaser for him for the YouTube video. So he was saying, like, you know, here's a couple seconds of a Meghan Trainor song. Do you guys like it? Do you want me to cover the whole thing in a YouTube video?
Mm-hmm. That's how I file my articles, actually.
A couple words at a time.
Couple words, and I say, do you like this? Do you want me to? This is, saves me a lot of energy.
But because of the moment when, you know, YouTube covers were almost passé at that point, Vine was fresh. It was new.
A social network.
6 seconds. It was, yeah, a lot of reblogging, mm-hmm. and liking and comments. And, you know, it had a freshness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the 6-second covers themselves took off. And, you know, he started to collect a very loyal fan base that, you know, when he started making original music, which all happened very quickly for him, they were buying it. You know, they were buying any song he'd put on iTunes. They were buying the album when it came out. And this was before, you know, he had the label really behind him. You know, a lot of people get signed off of social networks, but it's a question mark whether or not that's going to become, mm-hmm. a career. So the album hits number one just on the strength of the supporters from his social networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the label thinks, you know, we really got something here.
Right. And here's what's striking to me about Shawn Mendes. Obviously, look, there aren't very many young pop stars anymore in the mainstream.
Especially young male pop stars.
Yeah, that's not really, there aren't a lot. And in the major label system, obviously in other social media ecosystems, it's a different thing. But in the mainstream, the ones that are there, you look at, say, you look at what Bieber's been doing. And Bieber, for all of his huge fan base, is still kind of like trend chasing a little bit. You know, he's like, I got these EDM records. I have, you know, I think Bieber would be super thrilled to do acoustic R&B for the rest of his life. But like, that's not what he does.
Trap House.
Yes. Trap House, fake dance hall, and kind of like shiny, glossy pop dance club records. What I like about Shawn Mendes and what I sort of found really striking about Stitches, and which is carried through to parts of the new record, is the aesthetic of Shawn Mendes as major label pop star are actually Vine. It's a Vine aesthetic.
Yes.
It's acoustic guitar driven. There's space in the records. There's a tactile energy in terms of like a person playing an instrument. Now, is there some goop and polish around it to kind of like amp it up and steroid it up a little bit? Yes.
But not
essence,
always.
No, but the essence of it, very much close to what he got famous doing. That is something that I think a lot of people in major labels fail to understand, is we're going to sign this kid and then he's just raw meat and we're going to cook him how we want
and we're going to put him in the studio with DJ Snake.
Yes, and we're just going to like literally abuse people, beat them over the head with this new talent we have. Whoever is handling Shawn Mendes, I think, understood that part of his appeal is the organic quality, is the almost like the reluctance to be too flashy. And they're letting him kind of stick to that.
And, you know, when it first hit me is Jingle Ball, Z100's Jingle Ball, the big pop radio festival at the end of every year. 2014, I just started here at the Times. I went as the guest of John Pareles, who was reviewing the show.
Shouts to JP.
I just wanted to, you know, get the lay of the land. It's sort of a survey of the year in pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Taylor Swift gets a 30-minute set. Maroon 5 gets a little set. Shawn Mendes, at the time, I think, was just releasing Life of the Party,
yeah,
his debut single. Stitches, you know, hadn't come out yet. He comes out, and he's sort of an in-between act, and it's just him and an acoustic guitar and a spotlight on the side of the stage while they set up for the next major act. You know, he's a filler act, basically. You know, he does Life of the Party, just him and acoustic guitar. He had a cold at the time, so he, you know, wasn't sounding his best.
This is that real VH1 Behind the Music detail you got.
And I mean, kids were singing along, and I'd never heard of this kid, and I remember taking down in my notes, like, Shawn Mendes about to be a thing. Like, just like he just had the whole crowd in the palm of his hand in a way that even the legacy acts, the Maroon 5s, you know, weren't connecting with the 11-year-olds in the same way that one acoustic Shawn Mendes song was. And that, I think they kept that vibe, that sort of intimacy, that coffee house thing. You know, he was a big Ed Sheeran fan when Ed came out at first. And I think that was his blueprint for the first album.
Good, good secret, secret history, Ed Sheeran, secret oral history of Ed Sheeran influence. Maybe we'll get on that soon.
Yeah, I mean,
someone get on that. Or alternately, John Mayer.
So what happened in between the first Shawn Mendes and the second Shawn Mendes album is he discovered Continuum.
Wow.
Which
10
is
years old. 10 years old.
10 years old.
Didn't it just have its 10-year anniversary?
I think so. Is it the third John Mayer album?
I think so. I want to salute John Mayer, probably wearing some acronym prestos right now. So peace to the god, John Mayer. Visvim Lord.
So in interviewing Shawn Mendes recently before he sold out Madison Square Garden, played, you know, two weekends ago, Madison Square Garden by himself, no opener, sold out. Before the show, I was talking to him about the new album, and he said, yeah, my friends and I from back home in Pickering, Ontario, discovered Continuum. And he said, you know, it changed his life. He was like, that's when I started feeling music instead of just listening to it. You know,
wow.
You know, kids discovering John Mayer. It can shake worlds
to the
if
core.
You're in the right place.
To the core.
If you're in the right place in your life.
Yes. And also, well, I mean, in terms of the distinction between feeling and listening, and then listening and mimicking, certainly the opening song on this new Shawn Mendes record is just a bucket full of Mayerisms.
Yeah, so you get I think it's the first two tracks on the album, Mercy and Ruin, both, you know, a very, very strong John Mayer vibe. There's, you know, some vaguely soulful bluesy guitar. There's you know,
vaguely soulful bluesy singing,
lovelorn, you know, but still still sounding like nothing else that's popular on the radio
at the moment. Right, but the inflections are very much Mayer.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe it was time for the Mayer renaissance. You know, Ed, there's a little bit of that in Ed Sheeran, but the thing that's really striking about Shawn Mendes is where, like, John Mayer had this lover boy thing, but he always had some edge, right? He always wanted you to know that he was a little bit of a bad boy.
Just a
he,
touch.
You know, would speak his mind in interviews. Shout out to Playboy.
Yeah, you know, also TMZ legend.
TMZ legend, John Mayer, you know, went through...
Okay, I'm about to go write a book about John Mayer.
His dating was out there, given he was a little older than Shawn Mendes, who is still only 18. Which is, I think, is important to note.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ed Sheeran, like, you know, sort of the good guy of pop right now, has been laying low for the last couple of years. But, you know, when he came out, he's, you know, cherubic. He is respectful. Mm-hmm. He's
everyone's friend.
He's everyone's friend.
Taylor's friend.
But at the same time, he'll curse in interviews. He'll sit with Charlamagne on Power 105. He'll, on The Breakfast Club,
yep.
he'll write a song with The Weeknd about staying up all night and getting in a fight and doing drugs. Like,
yeah,
he
has records with The Game.
A little bit edgy, Ed Sheeran, in his way. Shawn Mendes has none of that.
And do you suspect, because you talked about this in your piece a little bit, but I wonder if you suspect that is true or that is by design? In the way that, if you could say, Taylor Swift calculatedly rolled out the slightly more aggressive parts of her personality in very particular, measured ways. Do you feel like that's what's happening with Mendes, or do you feel like he is literally just a boy in the world whose skin has, like, not been touched by scandal or by sin or any of those things?
I only spent a little bit of time with him. You know,
I'm not gonna hold you to this.
I don't know the man's character. I could not see inside his soul. One of the nicest boys I've ever met. You know, this is a Canadian we're talking about. This kid, you know, I pushed him on this quite a bit. And,
yeah.
And he just said, you know, like, my dad's a nice man. My mom's a nice woman. Like, I'm from a good family. He was like, and the way I described him in the piece, which is how I was struck by him, is he's like the popular kid at school who the parents also like.
Yeah.
You know, there's a brand of popular kid that adults can see through,
yes.
and they're like, I know you think you're the greatest, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Mendes is the one that the moms love. He's just exceedingly polite, very self-aware, but soft-spoken, and, you know, and he plays this gentleman role in song really well. The woman is always being treated like a queen, or if she's not, it's some other guy's fault and he's going to save you. The song we heard coming in, Treat You Better, is sort of the gender flip of You Belong With Me,
yes.
the Taylor Swift song, where he's saying, you know, your boyfriend is doing you wrong. Let me be your Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. And that runs...
It's also Mario's Let Me Love You, just for the record.
Sure. And that runs through both albums. In that way, you know, he's only 18, but he's sort of setting himself up for an inevitable fall, or at least scrutiny, because when you're painted as this, or when you paint yourself mm-hmm. as this pure figure,
guileless
in some way, you know, it's risky, because eventually he's going to have to grow up. And, you know, there's hints of it on the album. There's one song in particular called Lights On. I Want to Love You With the Lights On. It's about sex.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, hey, you know. And what did he have to say
And
about
so when
that?
I asked him about it, he said, you know, I'm 18. It's appropriate for me to release a song about sex. He said, I wouldn't have done it if I was 16. I wouldn't have done it if I was 17. But I'm 18. He said, you know, when I'm 21, I'll release a song about drinking. So this is a by the book man.
So let's go out with a little bit of Lights On, which I hope there are no 10-year-olds covering on Musical.ly right now.
And I can't deny I want your body, but I'm a gentleman, so I'll be the one who takes it slowly. 'Cause girl, you're so beautiful. I wanna love you with the lights on. Up all night long, darling, I want to see every inch of you. I get lost in the way.
And that's our New York Times podcast for this week. Thanks to our guests, Joe Coscarelli and John Herman. Our producer is Jocelyn Gonzalez. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and anywhere you get your podcast content. Oh, yes. Read John Herman on Musical.ly, Joe Coscarelli on Shawn Mendes, and all other sorts of viral stars at nytimes.com/music. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. And what the hell, email us at podcast@nytimes.com with questions, comments, or your innermost fears. I'm John Caramonica, and we'll see you next week.
Underneath these very sheets, your skin's so perfect, up against me. Your lips are talking when